scripture reading this morning will be taken from the second book of Luke, verses 46 through 52. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxious searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in his heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Please be seated.
Next week we'll have a special Sunday with our preacher. Michael Whitworth will be delivering this lesson. I'll be here, but in our Bible class period, Michael will be teaching, and then he'll be preaching that morning. And then after that morning worship, we'll have a meal together, and then he'll have the rest of his Teaching Rocket seminar number 2. We did number 1 last year, which was well received. We hope you'll be a part of the second part this year, which goes into more detail. It's very practical and looks at all types of teaching, from teaching young children to teaching adults and to preparing lessons and how to understand the students. So I hope you'll be a part of that. The times on there are just a general approximation after church in the afternoon, and we'll not have an evening service next Sunday. If you can help us with the meal, we're just doing a light lunch. That way we can stay awake during the lessons. Light lunch, so we'll do sandwiches and chips and fruit and desserts. You can sign up to help with that. I want to congratulate our last leaders, participants, and I appreciate all that Joel said, and it's great to see all those young people up here. I want to remind you a couple things about last leaders. Number one, it's helping the church intentionally and systematically through a program do what we should be doing anyways. And so it's just a way of trying to organize and make sure that we're intentional about doing and training our children to lead and to know God's Word. And secondly, I think it's important to remember that it operates off the principle that's so true about what gets rewarded gets repeated. So you may wonder why there's so many trophies, and you might notice that every child that participated will get a trophy, will get some type of recognition, most numerous ones. And the idea is we want to encourage our children, let them know that what gets rewarded does get repeated in most people's situation. And we want to encourage them and let them know that they're doing good. And that is able to encourage them to continue moving forward. And so if you're not involved in that program, let me encourage you. If your children are getting to that age where you saw it can be pretty young age, if they're getting to the age where they want to be involved, encourage them to be involved. And don't just wait for them to say it. You encourage them to be involved. Now, I want to think, I know we have short time, and I'll be mindful of that. But let's turn to Luke chapter 2, 39 through 52, and talk about some lessons from Jesus as a growing young man. Kids get used to hearing familiar questions or lines. "What do you want to be when you grow up?" we ask kids. Or we say things to them, "Well, you know, kids have it easy now, back when I was growing up," and then we'll launch into some speech about what it was like when we were growing up. Or we say, "You know, you don't live in the real world," which makes kids wonder what world are they living in if it's not the real one. And so kids, we tell them all these things. And I think sometimes we kind of give them the idea that Jesus doesn't understand either. And I want our lesson this morning not to be just for the children, but also for the adults, to understand that Jesus went through a similar experience as all of us went through as children and are still going through even as adults. And his emphasis was upon growing, that he was maturing and developing as a young boy and even as a man. And so Jesus had to grow too. That is, it wasn't just all given to him. In Luke chapter 2, the emphasis in this passage is that he grew. Verse 40, the child grew. Then it talks about an illustration of his growing was when he was in 12, when he was 12 years old, he goes and he's actually involved in some type of class, some type of discourse. He wasn't the teacher. He was learning from these distinguished men in the temple. He was learning from them. He's growing. And then Luke concludes by saying that he grew. He kept increasing in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. The emphasis is Jesus was growing. He was developing. Now, we can't get all into all the details of Christ and his relationship between him being a God and a man, and him being 100% God and 100% man. But it seems from Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 8, that Christ obviously humbled himself. He emptied himself and became obedient to the point of death on the cross. He left the glory of heaven and came to earth as a bondservant, Paul says. And that there were many limitations upon him in becoming and taking on the role of a man. And one of them seems quite obvious, is that his knowledge and his abilities, supernatural abilities, were reduced or limited as he was a man. And so when he was a toddler, he was a normal toddler. When he was a 8-year-old, 10-year-old, and now in our text, 12-year-old, he was a normal 12-year-old boy. He was a normal kid. He did not know everything that he would know as the God of the universe, as he knew in heaven, and as he would later reveal more in his word. In fact, it seems that that is one of the purposes of his baptism, Matthew chapter 4, and Luke chapter 4, when Jesus goes to the synagogue, that the Spirit came upon him, and that he will do his works, and he will receive the message from the Word of God from the Spirit, and that he launches his public ministry. Now, I said all that to say this. Jesus had to grow just like our young people have to grow, just like you and I have to grow. He learned the Word of God as a child by studying, by memorizing, and by meditating. He gained it the same way we gain it. In fact, in Luke 2:52, the Bible says he increased. And this term in the Greek literally means to cut forward or cut toward. And to cut forward a way would be a way of saying that. And the idea is an explorer, some of us who have allowed and seen really strong brush areas to grow up, and you have thorns and thistles, and you've got all these kinds of terrible weeds in there, and you want to cut a path, and you have to take chainsaws, and you have to take weed eaters, and you have to work for days to get that path cut. Well, that's the illustration of what this word means, is that Jesus had to work at it. He had to cut a way forward. He had to increase. In other words, he increased in these four areas. He had to strain or work to grow mentally, physically, socially, and spiritually. Now, this is the really point I want to make sure I get across. Our culture today wants to take away one leg of that four-legged stool. And it will not stand. It falls over. That it will not stand up, because here's the thing. Our culture wants to emphasize physical development. And we have a lot of emphasis on athletics. And then our culture wants to emphasize academic or mental development. And we have all kinds of emphasis, from libraries to our education system to our colleges. We emphasize, and we got all kinds of programs on TV that are, quote, educational. We want to emphasize academic and mental development. And then we, of course, emphasize and talk about social development. And we all understand the importance of being connected with others and having fun together and having social events. And so we have all kinds of events and we have all kinds of activities, socially in our culture so we can enjoy good times together. But our culture does not understand that you cannot properly understand physical, academic, or social development if you leave off the fourth very important aspect, and that is spiritual development. We wonder why there's so much foolishness in our secular world when it comes to all the thoughts that are out there, and we see all these things that we hear on the news media, all the things going on in our world today morally, and we wonder, why are people thinking like this? People are thinking like this because they weren't trained to believe and know that there is a God they're going to give an account to, and that God has revealed himself in his word, and we must know his word. And so the Bible has become a book reserved for the ancient people, that New Age people realize its foolishness and its antiquated ideas. And the Bible is just viewed as, if anything, a history book that doesn't give that good a history. And our children are struggling mightily in America today. They're struggling mightily in America. And we see teen suicide rates at high levels. Heard about a 14-year-old boy in Arkansas killing himself this week in the bathroom of the school. It's terrible things go on. And yet we do not understand that it's because we have removed this fourth area of growth that really defines and helps everybody understand who they are, what they're here for, and where they're going. People don't know who they are, why they're here, and where they're going if you take away the fourth area. And so I say this, children, parents, emphasize the other three areas. Jesus grew in those, but do not neglect the most superior and important area of all, the development of their soul, spiritual development. You see, Jesus had to grow in that area. He strained forward to grow in it. And thus, Jesus focused on his Father's business. He focused on his Father's business. As I said, Jesus did not fully understand who he was, I don't believe at that time, his full mission yet. He had not yet received and understood all that in a limited way, in humbling himself so greatly. But I think it's safe to say, Jesus was on his way to becoming the man he would be. Let me say this. All of our young people, all those little kids from the littlest ones to the older ones, what you are today is the person you are becoming in the future. And I say that to all of us out there, that we're on our way, we're on a journey to becoming something in the future. Jesus was on a journey, and his emphasis was upon his Father's business. It's the first recorded words of Jesus in Scripture as a man on earth. He's about his Father's business. Our children and all of us must have a sense of mission and duty and obligation to their Heavenly Father. Whether you're going to be a doctor, a plumber, a school teacher, a preacher, a missionary, whether you're going to be a stay-at-home mother, whether you're going to be a clerk at a store, whether you're going to own your own business, whatever you're going to be, you need to be a Christian in that role. You need to realize that that is a part of your divine mission, your divine calling of God, is to serve and develop for Christ in that position. And to be an example, a witness for Christ in that situation must be about your Father's business. We want to develop within each of our children a desire to understand that they have a sense of mission, of duty, of calling. No matter what they do in life, when they're 12 years old and we're asking them, what are you going to be when you grow up? They are becoming the man or woman that they're going to be. And they need to have Christ as that emphasis. And then notice, finally, Jesus was submissive to his parents. His kids can probably understand this. We can't go all into the story of why, and they could be all right how that happened of him getting gone for 3 days. But they were upset, and Jesus probably had to do a lot of explaining and apologizing, because his mom says to him in verse 48, "Why have you treated us so?" Mom was upset. "You hadn't done me right, Jesus. You are in trouble. In our vernacular, you are grounded. Not going to let you out of my sight anymore. We were heading home and you end up back at the temple." And Jesus responds, of course, by saying that he was about his Father's business. He was in his Father's house. He's developing that sense of mission. But Luke doesn't want us to think that Jesus was in any way disrespectful, or that he's going to be a rebellious teenager before his parents. Luke will describe to us that he is going to be submissive to them. He goes back into their home, and he's going to grow up and be submissive to them for years to come. And his public ministry will not start till he's about 30. Now, in Romans chapter 1, verse 30, the Bible says that when it lists off the sins of the Gentiles, those who are disobedient to parents. We're not talking about little kids who are beyond the age of accountability. We're talking about willful, rebellious sons and daughters. When Jesus was going through his adolescent and teen years, up into his young adult years, he was obedient, submissive, respectful of his parents. Jesus had to grow up too. When he was growing up, he focused on his Father's business. He sought to increase mentally, socially, physically, but also spiritually. And Jesus, when he was growing up, was obedient and submissive to his parents. This morning, if you're not a child of God, let me encourage you to put Christ on in baptism. If you need to rededicate your life and want to come back and be restored to the church, then please come as together we stand and as we sing.